You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.
Pirates fans, welcome to the inaugural episode of Sonny and Semenza. My name is Matt Semenza. Really excited to be here tonight. And let me just go ahead and welcome in my partner here, Jay Sunhalter. Jay, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Yeah, so excited to be with you every week, go over the games and talk about the Pirates and what's going on throughout the country.
Yeah, no doubt, Jay. And, you know, it's what's more exciting than the first real week of the college football season? I mean, we had week zero last week, obviously, but the slate of games was, you know, as you know, kind of weak. And then here we are, week one, and there is a tremendous slate of games here.
I mean, I'm just so glad football's back and we have something to watch on Saturday and Sunday now. It's been too long for me, so we're going to have great games. And I mean, there's so many games on Saturday and then, you know, one Sunday night and one Monday that I think are going to be really good. But I'm just so glad football's back.
Oh, no doubt about it. There's nothing better than the, you know, the first big week of the season. But yeah, so Jay, what I wanted to do was just take a second and kind of set up the show. And, you know, just so everybody knows, what we're going to do on a weekly basis is we're going to pick, you know, anywhere from 5 to 7 of the top games around the country each and every week. And we're going to preview those games and then make a pick with the point spread. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to make some good picks, some bad picks, but it's all in fun. And, you know, Jay, I guess I'll kick it over to you and taking a look at this, probably what many would consider the biggest game of the week. And that would be Notre Dame at Ohio State.
Well, we're going to make all correct picks, hopefully. But the good thing is next week on the show, we'll track our record and see how good we are or how bad I am. So we'll keep record of how we're doing. But, you know, all these picks that we make today, I know we'll think they're probably perfect spot on right now, but we may want to change them once the game starts. But I'll tell you what, that Notre Dame-Ohio State game, I think it's going to be fantastic as far as the setting and two schools with so much history. But I have a feeling, oh, this is going to be one of those years for Ohio State where they're going to be awesome. And Notre Dame with, you know, Marcus Freeman coming in and so many new players coming into the program, you know, they lost their quarterback, but so much excitement. I mean, I'm excited to see kind of, you know, the game get going and see how they compete. But I think in this game, Ohio State's the better team.
Yeah, you know, Jay, I totally agree with you. When you look at Ohio State, they're just loaded. They are loaded offensively. I fully expect this team to compete for the national championship. I expect them to be in the championship game this year. You know, when you look at them offensively, obviously the quarterback, C.J. Stroud, is back. The wide receiver, his name is Njigba. He is a fantastic wide receiver. Jay, I don't know if you saw the Rose Bowl last year, but Njigba, here's his stats. 15 receptions for 347 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, he's a top 10 prospect on Mel Kiper's board. So he's going to probably be a top 10 pick. He's the best wide receiver in college football. And I mean, you look at just draft picks on this team. I mean, they're going to be, you know, half of their guys that are playing in this ball game are going to be drafted. The starters that are draft eligible, they're going to be in the draft next year. So I just think that's where the huge advantage is, the talent. Plus, yeah, Jackson Smith and Jigba, who's going to cover him? And then you have probably a top 3 pick in C.J. Stroud, you know, a top sophomore running back in Henderson. I just think the offensive firepower is going to be too much for Notre Dame. And you, now it's all about, you know, who can score the most points. I think where the advantage is with Ohio State and their offense. Plus the fact that, you know, Ryan Day has had a lot of coaching experience. I think Marcus Freeman's great, but still at the end of the day, he coached in the bowl game last year, but this is really only his second game as a head coach. And everybody knows, you know, experience doesn't matter, but it is a huge factor and can be a huge benefit. And plus they're on the road. So I think the name Notre Dame versus Ohio State is going to be awesome, but I think during the game we're going to see Ohio State dominate this one.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Jay. I mean, you talk about a tough task for Marcus Freeman and what's essentially his first regular season game as a head coach at Notre Dame, going into the Horseshoe against Ohio State. Ohio State's a 17.5-point favorite here, Jay. I'm going to go ahead and say I like Ohio State to roll in this one. I do think they're going to cover the spread. I think Notre Dame is just not quite there yet. They're a team that as the season progresses, they'll become more dangerous. The quarterback will get more experience. Marcus Freeman will get more comfortable, as will the rest of the staff. But I think right now in this one, I think they're in over their heads, and I expect Ohio State to roll.
Well, I think you look at that spread, 17.5, you say, wow, you know, Notre Dame, that's a big name, and you know they'll be able to come in and cover it. But I think that's a sucker bet. I agree with you. I think Ohio State's going to win big. I think it could be, you know, 20 points or more. And I think they're going to get off to a good start. So we both agree on that one. So lock it in, Ohio State.
Lock it in, Ohio State. I like it. Okay, so we agree on one, all right? So we knew we'd agree on at least a few, so that's good. So, Jay, moving right along here. Here's another great game that I'm really excited about. Utah in the Swamp against Florida. What are your thoughts here, Jay?
Gosh, that one, you know, on the outset you say Ohio or Florida at home. I mean, SEC, they're going to win. But Utah is quietly one of the best programs in the country. Florida with Billy Napier, new head coach. You got Richardson back at quarterback for Florida. But, I mean, I think this game could be one of the best of the day because Utah is an experienced team that's going to be on the road in Florida, and it's a night game. And I'll tell you, I bet Florida wishes it was a day game to give them a humidity advantage. But I think this is going to be one of the best games of the day.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, you know, I think this is Utah's best team. I really do. I think this might be their best team ever. And I was so impressed with them last season in the Rose Bowl against Ohio State. They put up 45 points against Ohio State in that game. And you saw Cam Rising, the quarterback. He's a fun player to watch because he's tough. He's tough as hell. He can make plays with his feet. He obviously, completes a high percentage of passes. I mean, if you look back at that, again, going back to that Rose Bowl game, I mean, he was extremely efficient. He lit Ohio State up. And then you look at Utah, three starters back on the offensive line, a very, very solid defense that they've added to in the offseason. So I think they're just, in my opinion, a little too far along for Florida in this opener, considering it's Napier's first game, and you're really in some ways Anthony Richardson, he's still being broken in as a quarterback here.
Well, yeah, and I think when, you know, if you look at this game, you say, well, Florida should win this. I mean, they're at home, you know, first game of the year, new coach, they're going to get rolling. But, I mean, last year Florida was bad, and they had a lot of issues, but Utah's the better team. And the spread's 3 points with Utah being favored. So I think that says a lot about the respect for Utah going into this game on the road.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, it's really there's so many storylines in this game. I mean, obviously Billy Napier's first game as a head coach in the Swamp. And I took a minute to go back and look, and his record as a head coach is 40-12, Jay. 40-12. Very impressive what he did at Louisiana, to say the least. Two Sun Belt titles, top 20 finish, bowl wins. I mean, this guy can coach, but again, he's sort of rebuilding a program that, was obviously in a little bit of disarray under Dan Mullen. So it's going to take him some time. And I just don't quite think they have enough to win this game, even though they're at home in the Swamp.
So what do you think? -3 Utah, who do you got?
So, you know, I hate to say it because my wife is a Florida Gator and she's going to get very upset with me, but I got to go Utah -3 in the Swamp. I think they're going to get it done. Like I said, I think it's just too much in the first game for Florida.
Maddie, lock it in. I'm with you. -3 Utah, 2-2.
Nice. I like it. All right. So, Jay, another exciting game here. You have Georgia versus Oregon on a neutral field. Obviously, Oregon makes the long trek from the West Coast to the East Coast to take on the Georgia Bulldogs. What do you think here?
Well, I think, you know, again, Bo Nix coming in for Oregon, new coach Dan Lanning, that knows Georgia. He was the defense coordinator last year when they won the national championship going over to Oregon. You know, he's going to have some insight, some knowledge into Georgia, but he's not going to be playing in the ball game. So right. You've got a lot of new faces, especially on the defensive side for Georgia, that are going to be starting. But again, these guys are all 5 and 4 stars, so they're just reloading. And Stetson Bennett's back. I mean, talent on the offensive side. But for me, Bo Nix is going to be starting for Oregon, and Oregon has a lot of talent. But, I mean, when you look at this game, who do you trust on the offense and defensive line? My trust is in Georgia, and that's where the game's going to be won.
Yep, that's a great call. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, when you take a deep dive and you look at Oregon, they're now on their fourth head coach in the last 10 years, which is almost really hard to believe because you don't think of them as being a program with instability. I mean, they've been so good for so long. But if you think about it, they had Mark Helfrich. Then they had Willie Taggart for a year. Then you go into Mario Cristobal, who's now the head coach at the University of Miami. So now you bring in Dan Lanning, okay, who is 35 years old. Most recently, he was the defensive coordinator at Georgia, which is a really interesting storyline here. You know, the fact that Georgia's former DC is now coaching his first game against the Bulldogs. So talk about a tough task in your first game as a head coach.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I talked about the same thing with the Ohio State game with Marcus Freeman. I mean, no matter how talented you are, experience, you know, everyone says it doesn't matter, but it can matter. And I just think Kirby Smart versus a rookie head coach, where's the advantage with Kirby Smart? So I think, I mean, in this ball game, I think Georgia is in a really good position to win in this one.
Yeah, I do as well. Honestly, I never like when these Pac-12 teams play teams from the SEC. It just seems like they don't stack up. And just like you mentioned, Jay, it's up front, the offensive and defensive lines. I don't see them matching up well at all. I actually think this one could get out of hand. And I'm going to say Georgia covers the 17.5 point spread and rolls over Oregon here.
Well, we're stride for stride. Lock it in. I'm with you. Georgia wins big, and I mean big.
All right. I like it. 3 for 3 here. So rolling right along, Jay. Another intriguing game. This one more local. App versus UNC. What do you think here?
Boy, I'll tell you. I mean – when you saw UNC play the first 3 quarters, you were like, what in the world is going on? But that quarterback looks good. Whatever is going on, he looks legit. Omarion Hampton, as a freshman, I think he's going to solidify himself as the number one guy. So they've got a young team. The defense got blistered. But there is talent on the defensive side, especially in the front 7. I mean, all 3 levels, there's talent. Now, they did pretty much play terrible, especially defensively. But I think anytime you have a star quarterback, and I think Drake May will be a draft pick here and a high one when he's eligible, if he keeps playing like this and from what you hear and what you saw in one game, that's a huge advantage. Now, Appalachian State is an awesome program, and they're winners, and this probably is going to be the biggest game in their history being at home. But I think the fact that UNC has one game under their belt is going to help them a lot.
Well, we're agreeing way too much tonight. We're agreeing. I mean, this is I kind of feel like the same. You know, the old saying in college football, Jay, you make the biggest improvement from week 1 to week 2. Well, UNC's got a game under their belt. App State doesn't. And I think that's an advantage for USC. I apologize for the barking dog in the background there. But, you know, in addition to that, you know, even though Chase Brice is back at App State, so he brings a little continuity, a little stability at the quarterback position, I think they lost a lot defensively. They had some fantastic players last year, some really tough guys that they lost. And I think it's going to be a little bit too much. I expect a very close game here. Last I saw, Jay, the spread was at -5.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, there was a swing, and there was a swing in the line. So at -5. So, you know, Vegas has this as essentially an even game here.
Well, who do you have?
So I'm going to go, because of what you mentioned, the fact that it's UNC's second game, and I think App is, they lost so much defensively. I'm going to go UNC. I don't think it's going to be as close as the experts do in Vegas. I think UNC wins this game by at least 10.
Well, I'm with you. I'm going UNC also, because I just think when you look at this game, everybody from the outside is going to bet, okay, Appalachian State's awesome program, UNC was terrible. But when you look inside of the story, UNC has a ton of talent. This week, they're getting probably screamed at during practice because of how bad they played. And at the end of the day, you're going to have a star quarterback, you know, especially with the more experience, who in his first start played great. You're going to have him, plus you've got young talent going against a team that hasn't played yet. Now, they don't have film on Appalachian State, but you make your improvements, you know, from week one to week two. And I think North Carolina, that experience for those younger players is going to help them going on the road.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, I do think App is going to try to lean on their running game. They have two awesome running backs, Cam Peoples, who's a bigger back, you know, over 215 pounds. He can really do things in between the tackles. And then you have Nate Noel, who's kind of the smaller, shiftier guy, change of pace. So they have two outstanding backs. They're going to have to run the ball really well to have a chance to win that game. But personally, I just don't see it this week. And I think UNC gets it done on the road.
I agree with you. Lock it in, UNC.
All right. All right, Jay. Another good game. And this one is Monday night. And you have LSU versus Florida State. Again, a neutral field. So this game is being played on a neutral field, if you want to call it that, because it's in New Orleans at the Caesars Superdome. So it's essentially a home game on a neutral field for LSU.
Well, we know what a home game at LSU means. There's going to be a lot of crazy fans getting loud. So that's going to be, whether it's Baton Rouge or New Orleans, they'll probably even maybe to a degree be louder because it's in a dome. So I think that's going to be a big advantage for LSU.
Yeah, I do as well. I mean, it's going to be one of those games. It's going to be kind of fun to watch. Brian Kelly, after so many years at Notre Dame, now at LSU with his fake Southern accent, which I know you guys love. So it's going to be interesting to see what he does at LSU, the style of offense he runs, how quickly can he kind of get that program back up to speed. And we both know if he doesn't get it done quick, he's going to get run out of town, you know, very quickly, like they tend to do to coaches there. But I think that's a pretty fun storyline to watch.
Well, I think, you know, you talk about these coaches and their first game or experience and everything, and even though this is his first one at LSU, I mean, I think Brian Kelly's, you know, kind of underrated, because I think Notre Dame is a hard place to win, and he was a consistent winner. And I think, you know, he doesn't maybe have all of his guys in yet and maybe have everything solidified as far as personnel at LSU. But I think he's a really good coach, and I think they do have a lot of talent down there. And until Florida State does something of significance, I don't trust them. I do think it's kind of interesting that it's only, you know, -3 for LSU, being that they're playing at the Dome. But I'm going to go with LSU in this one.
Yeah, and this one gave me some problems. I'll be honest. This one gave me a few problems for a few reasons. Florida State, they played a game last week, you know, even though it was versus Duquesne. And, you know, we know Duquesne is not exactly what you would call a hotbed of college football. But you get that experience under your belt and you kind of get yourself acclimated to the season. So I do like that, you know, even though LSU is just, we know, always loaded with talent. However, I am Jordan Travis, the quarterback for Florida State, to me is a little shaky. When I watch him play, I don't think he's quite there yet. I know they say he's made strides in the offseason, but this is going to be a big task for him to be able to play against this LSU defense and win the game. So I'm going to go LSU. I think they cover this game. They're probably going to win by 10 or more points, in my opinion.
So we're 5 for 5. Lock it in.
Yeah, we're agreeing too much. I mean, you know,
hey, but the good thing is we didn't pre-plan this and change so we could argue or disagree with each other. We're going with the truth.
Exactly. Exactly. So I'm sure one of these will probably disagree. But
all right, well, let's go back through these. So up to this point, we've got Ohio State covering. Yep. Who else do we have?
So we have, you know, basically we have Ohio State, Utah, right? We have Georgia,
yep,
UNC, and now LSU.
Perfect.
Yep. So
I like your picks.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you never know. I think, like I said, I think week one is, in my opinion, it's the toughest week to pick games because you don't have much to go on. So you try to look back to the previous season. You know, you look to bowl games, what starters are back. I mean, me personally, Jay, like I try to look at, is the quarterback back and what's back on the offensive line? And I try to go from there the first week.
Yeah, no, that's a good place to look. It's QB, O-line, D-line. That's where you win and lose games.
No doubt. No doubt about it. So another, you know, rolling right along here, another interesting matchup. Cincinnati coming off their playoff appearance at Arkansas. Tough opener.
Yeah, that's a tough one to pick. I mean, because you've got a lot of new personnel. Cincinnati had half their team drafted last year. You lose Desmond Ridder and Sauce Gardner. So those are the two big-name guys. But, I mean, that program's rolling. But what's going on at Arkansas has really been fun to see. I mean, just how good they've been and how that program has really kind of flipped around at the SEC West.
It certainly has. And you know, like Kendall Briles has kind of brought in that style and of offense. And now all of a sudden they're scoring a lot of points. And it's funny, Jay, you know, I look at their quarterback, KJ Jefferson. He reminds me a lot of Dave Girard back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, he's about 6'4". He's about 250 pounds and he's a dual threat. He could do a lot of things and, you know, not quite as dynamic as a passer, in my opinion. But then you look at his stats last year, 21 touchdowns to 4 interceptions, but he also had about 700 yards rushing. So he's a true dual threat. And like you mentioned, though, I mean, what do you think about Cincinnati? I mean, they lost so much off of that great team last year. Will they be able to win this game?
Well, I think they're going to be really good. I just think that's a tough matchup on the road. And you look at the point spread on that, you know, you're like, well, you know, they can cover that. But, I mean, I just think they lost so much. And, again, on the road, going against a really good team with a quarterback that's returning. And Arkansas has high hopes this year. I think I'm going with Arkansas on this one to cover.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Arkansas -6.5. I think it's going to be a very close game. I'm actually going to go the other way on this one, Jay. I'm going to go the other way. I think Arkansas wins the game, but I think it's a little tighter. I think it's going to be very tight. Cincinnati, you know, Luke Fickle's recruited so well there, and he's at the point now where they just kind of reload. So I think Cincinnati's going to give Arkansas all they want. But I do think Arkansas wins, but I'm going to say Cincinnati covers the 6.5.
We have our disagreement.
There you go.
Well, we'll track that one. You and I will be watching that one close.
Exactly. Exactly. We'll track it. And then I'll let you, obviously the big one here, locally is, you know, I'll let you kick this one off, you know, back to me, but NC State in Greenville.
Yeah, I mean, this is a game, you know, that's going to be so much fun to watch and to be at, I think, for both fan bases, but especially for ECU fans, because to kick off the season, you want to play against NC State or UNC. I mean, that's who you want to be against. And, you know, as soon as it was announced NC State was going to be game one, I know everyone was ready to go and ready to get started. Now, NC State's got a heck of a team on paper based off of what they did last year, what's returning and their talent. So it's going to be a big challenge for East Carolina, but I think it's also going to be a big challenge for NC State, because when you have that much notoriety and guys coming back, you know, there is a sense of sometimes, you know, you have that good feeling about yourself, and sometimes it's a benefit to be the underdog or hunting a team, whereas NC State has gotten a lot of publicity, and that's something they've had to manage. And you'll never know how a team manages, you know, the hype until they get out there and play. But I'll tell you, NC State is very, very talented. I mean, you've got Devin Leary at quarterback. I think the linebacking core is one of the best in the country. And I there's a lot of guys on their team that's going to get drafted. But, I mean, with East Carolina, you look at the experience coming back for the Pirates and the amount of playing time and games that some of these guys have seen the past three and four, you know, well, 2 to 3 years. I mean, there's a lot of players that are very hungry to get the season off on the right foot and to win against your rival. And, I mean, the stadium is going to be rocking. There's going to be great fan support for the Pirates. But, again, I think this game being at 12 noon, I mean, I know everybody wishes it was a night game so there could be more tailgating. But it's going to start off the day right with, I think, a really intense game.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's and I agree about the 12 noon thing. It's unfortunate that happened like that, because it does take away a little bit from the atmosphere. But it is what it is. And, you know, I'm looking at this game, and this is a really tough one for me. I mean, the spread as of today was 11.5. And, you know, I try to take a step back, even though a former player for the Pirates, I always have to take a step back and try to look at this objectively. And everybody says, you know, NC State, they feel like this is maybe their best team ever. They're loaded. They're in some rankings, they're number 11. I saw a few where they were number 12. So this is a loaded team. Leary back at quarterback. There's a lot to like. There's a lot. Don't kill me, Pirate Nation. There's a lot to like, though, in terms of what you see from this NC State team. But on the flip side, they're 1-4 all-time in Greenville. All right. You made some great points about what East Carolina has coming back. I mean, Mike Houston now in year 4. This is, as Dave Doran, you know, commented earlier in the week, this is Mike Houston's best team. And, you know, you like what you see up front on the offensive line. You like what you see up front on the defensive line for East Carolina. And I like the fact that it's in Greenville. I do like the fact that it's in Greenville. So, now it's going to take a lot. You're going to have to play great defense, and you're going to have to score, in my opinion, at least 28 to 30 points to win this game. So, I think you're going to need to really run the football well, Jay. You're going to have to establish the line of scrimmage, and you're going to have some explosive plays on offense to win this game. But I definitely like the fact that it's a home game. It's an emotional game for the players, in-state rivalry, and I think East Carolina covers.
Well, I'm not going to make a pick on this one because I'll be covering the Pirates, but I do think it's going to be an outstanding game. And honestly, I can't wait to see how it unfolds. I can't wait to watch the matchups. I think the matchup to watch in this one, and this is going to determine who wins the game. It's not going to be the quarterbacks, the wide receivers. It's not going to be the skill guys. I think it's going to be the line play. Can East Carolina run the ball? Can they get after Devin Leary? Or can NC State protect? And, you know, can they cause disruption with their defensive line? I think it's going to be all about the line play. And I think whoever wins down in the trenches is going to be who wins this game.
Yeah, it's a great point. I mean, it starts up front. And, you know, I'm really excited to see what East Carolina brings to the field. I mean, we know what we have in Holton. But you have some transfer wide receivers. You have Winstead, who came in from Toledo. Jalen Johnson, who came in from Georgia. You know, so you have a few guys right there that have some explosive ability that we've heard about, but we haven't seen them on the field yet. And I'm really excited to see what they bring. And then in addition, you know, one of the big changes this year, Jay, that I've read about not having been at practice, but CJ Johnson really moving more into the slot to kind of make up for that production loss from Tyler Snead. So you have some big, you know, in terms of, you know, stature, some big receivers for East Carolina. And it's going to be interesting to see how they match up against the secondary for NC State.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a game where I think after you see this game, even though it's only game one, you're going to learn a lot about both of these teams. I mean, NC State is ranked 13th right now. I mean, some polls have in the top 10, but they've got high hopes to win the ACC, you know, and many people would say it's a realistic goal to have. Now, East Carolina, you know, I think there's high hopes to win the American, and to really, this is going to be a huge step year. And I just think this game will, you know, we'll learn a lot, but I think it's going to be a really good competition in the long run. Both teams are going to really benefit from playing this, you know, this game in week one, and have, you know, the fan bases be, you know, as involved and invested in a game like this and play in the atmosphere. I mean, as a player, this is what you want to play in, is a big game like this.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, the players are going to be jacked up. It's going to be rowdy. The stadium's going to be rocking. And, you know, I really think just a few things, again, just to look for, can East Carolina run the ball with consistently? Can we have a few explosion type plays? But if we give up, conversely, because we know Blake Harrell loves to blitz, and I love his scheme. I love how aggressive he is. But if we blitz and we're manned up on the outside, we cannot give up any explosion plays to this team, because, you know, Leary can throw the ball with the best of them. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to watch. But I know you can't comment on this one, Jay. But I'm gonna say the Pirates get it done. They're gonna cover at home.
Well, I think it's going to be an awesome game, and I can't wait to watch it and can't wait to dissect it next week with you, Matt. It's going to be a good one, but I'm excited for all these games, and I'm just so glad football is back. And, hey, we've got some winners, too, that we just picked. I can't wait to check our scorecard next week and see how we did.
Oh, no doubt about it. And so Jay, last one here. Do you have a lock of the week? Now, lock of the week, this could be any team from around the country. Doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, one of the games we just previewed, but just a lock of the week that you like.
Boy,
put me on the spot here,
Matt. I mean, I feel like all the ones we picked are locks. That's how confident I feel. That's, we have a lot of locks, but I'll go with one that we already discussed. But I believe Ohio State's going to win big.
Okay. All right. I like it. And so I think, again, my family is going to kill me because I have a bunch of Gators in my family here. But when I look at the Utah matchup in the Swamp, I just think Utah, they're just further along. Billy Napier's first game as head coach. I think Utah, this is maybe their best team ever, ranked number top seven in the country in various polls. So I think Utah is going to get it done. I'm not saying it's going to be a blowout. I think it's going to be a very tough competitive game. And I like this Florida team, and I'm a fan of Billy Napier. But I think Utah is just further along than Florida right now. So I think Utah is going to get it done. That's my lock of the week.
Sounds good. We'll be 2-0 next week, and we're going to get off to a great start with our first show with our picks.
Let's hope so, man. Let's hope so. Well, it was, I enjoyed it, buddy. I enjoyed it. We got many more, a long season ahead.
Yes, sir. Well, we'll be back next Wednesday and break down the games we saw and talk about how we did, and then look ahead to next week's games and week two, and see what other games we can win on that scale too.
No doubt. And Jay, where are you this weekend? What game do you have this weekend?
So on Friday night, I'll be at Kansas, and I'll be on the broadcast for Tennessee Tech versus Kansas. So all right. Looking forward to being a Big 12 country, and I'll be on the broadcast, and then look forward to seeing those two teams compete and getting off to a good start this season.
Fantastic. Well, you have a great call. Enjoy it. And so what we want to do next is just really quick talk a little bit about some of our upcoming programs here on the Sports Objective. So brand new programming coming in for this football season. We're really excited. A lot of new voices, you know, some new shows here, just like ours, Jay. And you look at Absolute Empowerment with Coach Connors, who I had an opportunity to play for 4 years. And I could just say, like, in terms of strength coaches, there's probably nobody better in the business. So really excited to hear what Coach C has to say. And then, you know, so that's going to be on Monday nights. And then you look Tuesday, the Pirate Preview, you know, where we get ready for the upcoming matchups of the week. And then Wednesday, Pirate Breakdown with Sutton Young, another new program there. Obviously, we are here with Sonny and Semenza. And then, you know, it moves along to the Inside Slant, A Pirate's Life for Me, the Pulse of Pirate Nation, and then the Pirate Football Playback after the game. So a lot of new programming here that we're excited about, and it's time to get the season started. So with that said, Jay, thanks to everybody for tuning in tonight. Always fun, brother, and we will see how this weekend's games go, and we'll catch up next week.
You're watching the Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates. Listen to the show pretty much everywhere podcasts are found. Be sure to follow us on social media at the Sports OBJ on Twitter and TikTok, at the Sports Objective on Instagram. Like and follow our Facebook page and subscribe to our YouTube channel. As always, we appreciate you listening to the show, and go Pirates!